I won't look at the phone anymore. I'll trust it. I fully trust technology. Is that better?
Yeah, maybe. That's great.
I don't know. We'll see. I never know how to start these things. So. How are you doing, Pablo? Good morning.
Good morning. Pretty good. Excited.
Yeah.
Another episode of No Solutions.
Let's see.
Well, it's not even an episode, right? It's a dialogue.
Yeah. I think. Yeah. I'm not sure. People will call it episodes anyway. But I see it as a dialogue. You know, that's the problem with naming. You're not in charge of naming. That's another thing. Like people, you're not even in charge of your name. People will call you whatever. It's cool. School makes this very apparent. It doesn't matter what your name is. It's like you'll get your own name. Anyway, I digress already. So, yeah.
We go on a tangent before hitting any point whatsoever.
Yeah. I listened back to the first one and it's actually... I was able to listen to it. That's okay. So the sound quality was okay. Mm-hmm. But I hope we will improve. But one thing that we didn't talk too much about was like what this experiment actually is. We talked a little bit about, you know, it kind of came out of sovereign engineering or some of the things we discussed during sovereign engineering. We want to kind of refine and have a more... open more public dialogue about it, and I think that's a large part of it. But it's also the way I view it is the whole problem space is way too big for one person to come up with a solution in some sense. So the only thing we have is dialogue. I think to navigate this whole space, like how should we build it and how should we build it right, and how do we think about Noster and SAPS and, you know, building something on a Bitcoin standard, building something like rebuilding the internet, reinventing the internet on a Bitcoin standard, so to speak. It's too big of a task for one person or even a couple of people. You need to muddle your way through and talk about it and have many, many dialogues about what might be not the correct solution. I don't think there is a correct solution, but what are the right trade-offs? How can you think about it? What is the what would be the pro of cons of doing it this way as opposed to that way? And I think the way I see this, the way I see these like no solutions, conversations, dialogues, whatever, is I want to talk to the people that are closest to that, that have been closest to that for the longest time, and to kind of have a almost like a time capsule in some sense. Mm-hmm. How did we think about it in January 2025? Oh, now it's February. So how did we think about it? Time flies, man. And just to see where we're at, and maybe something useful comes out of it. And maybe it's also, my hope is that we will also get better at explaining to regular people, why is this exciting? Why is this a massive opportunity? And why, I think I mentioned it the last time as well, if you're just a regular JavaScript developer or whatever, and you just learned how to code, why should you take a look at this and why is this exciting?
Yeah, I think explaining these things is just so hard. And the closer you are, the harder it gets. I was listening to Adam Curry on Joe Rogan last night.
Oh, he went again?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. He was six or seven times now already, I think.
He's a regular.
Yeah.
And at one point he started talking about Bitcoin, and the way he was explaining Bitcoin, it wasn't too compelling.
Yeah.
It was, no, but I believe in Bitcoin. No, I don't believe on the other shitcoins. And that puts them in the same footing. You know, it's a belief system. And it's not about, I believe in this one and you believe on this other one. I think it does a huge disservice when you explain things in the wrong way.
Yeah.
Which is something that I see a lot. I saw Hazard wrote a long form maybe like a year ago, making that point, saying something like, a bad explanation is worse than no explanation, which I think is a very good point.
Yeah, I think that's true.
One of the things that you've mentioned a bunch of times in software engineering, I think it's a good point to touch on, is the distributed cognition.
Yeah,
I think it's a very very useful way of thinking.
Yeah,
you wanna touch on that?
Yeah, I I mean, those are not my ideas. There's a lot of, you know, like people that are way smarter than me that point this out, that all the hard problems, all the interesting problems are actually not solved by one person. They're all solved by distributed cognition, by like, you know, who runs an airline, for example? Who steers a large cruise ship? It's not like one guy. You need like 100 people to do these things. And no single one person can tell you how it works. Or like who runs America, or who runs a big country, or who runs a big corporation, and so on. So we put systems in place, and we have various things that hopefully self-regulate, and that's what, in combination with humans, runs the thing. And I think just kind of, you know, who came up with the idea of X? It's a very hard X as a placeholder, not X as in like the new Twitter now. It's a very...
Yeah, he ruined the X word.
Yeah, what a shame. No, but it's a very hard question to answer, because you don't actually have like true, real, original thought, so to speak. Like everything is a remix of something else, and so on and so forth. And so there is... I mean, the way I look at all that is that there is a reason why, for example, in the West, the logos is sacred, and why in the US, the First Amendment is the First Amendment. And it's about free speech and having the ability to actually speak freely about things and discuss things. And it's the only way to figure out what you actually need to do. It's the only way to get a grasp on a complex thing that doesn't have a well-defined problem space. And I think all those things are the most interesting problems. All the most interesting problems don't have like a definite solution. Mm. Evolution is a great example.
Yeah,
like 100%. Like the problem space of life itself. What is the perfect organism? There is no perfect organism.
The question makes no sense.
Exactly, the question makes no sense. And in this, I view Nostr under the same light, for example. I view the stuff that we are doing under the same light. What is the perfect Nostr app? There is no perfect Nostr app. It's first of all, it's even hard to even say what Nostr is in like to box it in some sense.
Yeah.
And I think that's why you can't figure it out. Like you as a single person, you can't figure it out. You don't even know. Like even if you build a thing and you think you understand it from start to finish, if you actually shoot it out into the wild, if you actually ship it, if you actually release it, the people will use it in surprising ways. Mm. That's always what happens. So you don't even understand what you built yourself. You know, like the people that created Viagra, for example, thought it was a heart medicine. You know, like it's I always use this example because most people know it, and that's true for absolutely everything. You know, like it's true across the board. Like pick your thing that was invented, the people will use it in very surprising ways, and so I think we're at a point now where it's absolutely crucial to have these conversations and also involve kind of, how should I put it? Let me start somewhere else. I think we figured out a lot of things by building the first iteration of the internet. And a lot of, like Rebel is a great example. Rebel knows a lot of things about social media and the history of social media and how things went and how all this built and how this came about. And he knows all the mistakes that were made along the way, basically. So it's important to really hear these people and not repeat those mistakes, I think. I think it's, we actually have a chance of, you know, building the next iteration of the free and open internet. And I would, like, it would be a missed opportunity if we repeat the mistakes of the past.
Yeah, and I think one of the things, one of the benefits of having these conversations, especially about opening them up, like we're doing now, is that it is very easy to just default to Nostr and like the stuff that we're working on. It technically it looks a lot like the old world. Like the peer-to-peer, like the strictly peer-to-peer technologies with a VHD, they architecturally they look very different than a client-server model. Noster looks a lot like a client-server model. It looks very, very similar. It just changes. It's a very small change that is incredibly significant.
Yeah, the servers are stupid and very much replaceable. And also, you don't use one server.
And the data.
I think that's the main difference.
And the data is better.
Yes,
exactly. The authenticity of the data is in the data, and that makes all the difference.
Yeah,
all the difference.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't matter if the data is coming from a server you do not trust. The signature is there. That's all that matters.
Yeah, yeah.
But from an architectural standpoint, it looks very similar.
Yeah.
It looks extremely, extremely similar. So it would be very easy to default, and it is something that we keep seeing. It is very easy to default to having the same answers that we had before.
Yeah.
The same answers of how do you grow?
Trying
how do
the
you
same grow thing because it trying worked in the past.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. And just trying to rebuild the same thing. And I think opening up these conversations where we have free, because that it is the thing that we do not have the answers.
Yeah.
We are not recording ourselves thinking, oh, this is how you need to do it.
Yeah, no, not at all.
It is quite the opposite. It is we are opening
trying to
up.
Figure the, it out
we're the trying to figure it out. Which, like the first slide, or among the first two or three slides on the day one of software engineering, is you are the guinea pig.
Which is still true. Yeah.
It is very much true.
Yeah. And we are too.
And we are too, 100%. Yeah. We're just trying to figure these things out and what this is, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think the default architecture of how most of the things in the web work right now, they over the last 20 years or so, they impressed various thoughts into the minds of people and developers, and it's very, very, very hard to undo that. And it actually lies. I mean, you talked about this a couple of times already, but it's very much worth pointing out. And it's one of the themes we had in the course as well. It's like, for example, there is no global view of the whole thing. It's impossible. It's an impossible problem. If you want to have a global view, you need to actually build Bitcoin. You need to rebuild Bitcoin. You 100%. Need proof of work.
With
you
all
need
a
proof
the limitations.
Of cash chain. Everything.
Yeah. Everything that
everything
that
else
means.
Is a lie.
Yeah.
You know, like the global view count of a YouTube video is a lie. It's a complete lie. You can't have the global view. It's always wrong. It's always outdated. That's just how, because the speed of light and how information works and all of it, it's like, I don't want to get into the deal of why it's, the details of why it is a lie, but it's always a lie. The like count of your tweet, it's a lie, and so on and so forth.
And even within Bitcoin, you need to reveal Bitcoin. Bitcoin only claims to have the truth of its own system.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why inscribing shit on the blockchain is retarded, right?
We already talked about the retardation of NFTs the last time. Let's not repeat that.
Yeah. But Bitcoin doesn't claim to have a global view of the other stuff, of everything that is not within the system.
You can't have that. But I think that's so. You just have to be okay with having an incomplete view of the thing.
Yeah.
You just have to be okay with things potentially being out of order or incomplete or what have you. That's just how the world works. And
it's
there is no
reality.
Way around it. If you, and the reason why I think it's super important to talk about this and really, like, we have to land on some things where you really drive this into people's heads, because it's like, if you fix this problem, you reintroduce centralization. You have a central authority, and with that supposed fix of the problem, you reintroduce all the things that made all the stuff that we use right now terrible. There is no way around it. So you just have to be okay with there being no global. And that's just how it is.
Yeah, I think that there are things that we don't know, and there are things that we do know. And it's provably impossible to have a global view.
Yeah, absolutely.
It just makes no sense. In physics terms, it makes no sense.
Yeah, and so you just have to be okay with that. And also, it's there's so many problems that are like this, and I feel like we, you know, I don't know. Maybe we should list them all out and kind of maybe that would be helpful. But one issue is like the problem of naming came up so often,
which is the same problem.
It is the same problem. Which relates to there is no global database of like handles of like usernames. If you have one, then again, it's like you're back at square one where there is a central server which tells the world like who is who. It's a problem that DNS tries to solve. That's why DNS is like one of the Achilles heels of the internet, because it's like it's a centralized solution. It's like you have to map IP addresses to human readable and understandable names, and so there's a central registry, and that's how things work. But as we know, a central registry, the issue with a central registry is whoever is in charge can remove the entry points, mm-hmm. can remove the whatever is in the register. And so if we actually care about long-lived, and I kind of hate the word censorship resistant, because that's it's such bad marketing in some sense. If you want to have something that has 100% uptime, which says the same thing, yeah. Then you must not have the central register, because the central register can get down can go down. And I think all of this stuff is important. And I don't hear this talked about too often. Let me rephrase that. A lot of people do talk about this stuff, but new people come in, they try to build something. They build something and they try to fix exactly these issues.
Yes.
And they try to give everyone in Noster like a username, for example, that works everywhere and so on. and so, okay, that shows me they haven't ever deeply thought about these issues and they don't understand the problem space right, because it's impossible. You're trying to do an impossible thing. So maybe don't spend your time on trying to fix the impossible problems. Try to fix the possible problems, and be okay with some things being messy and remaining messy.
To me, one of the interesting aspects of just freedom tech in general is, I mean, as Matt would say, how much it humbles you, how much it forces you to be okay with constraints that are unremovable. There are constraints that cannot be withdrawn. It's a very self-actualizing moment when you accept the constraints and you accept moving forward without trying to be perfect.
Yeah.
Without trying to have the username, without trying to have perfect data guarantees. Like that's also something that keeps coming up, is the guarantee of the data. There are no guarantees. You cannot have them.
Yeah, no.
By guarantee, I mean the availability of the data.
But that's the best you can do. I mean, and I feel like we know this. Everyone who ever, like, you know, like everyone who has been around a couple of years and worked with computer stuff for is a computer scientist and so on. It's like RAID shows this clearly, for example. RAID is a great example of like, okay, there's only these couple of trade-offs. If you have a RAID system, what do you want to achieve? You want to achieve that if one hard disk goes bad, not everything is fucked. And so there's these different kind of RAID levels and so on.
Yeah.
And if you compare RAID to Bitcoin, for example, Bitcoin is like an extreme RAID system where it's like, as long as one hard disk, so to speak, survives, everything is fine. For RAID, it's like RAID 5, for example. If like one goes bad, you're still fine. If two go bad, you're fucked again, you know? And so that's the trade-off that you have. There's like how fault-tolerant is the system? And I think that's what, from an engineering perspective, that's what we should focus on. If you want to have something that is long-lived and resilient, it has to be fault-tolerant. Central servers are not fault-tolerant. And we see this over and over again. I mean, we see it like, you know, everyone uses Wallet of Satoshi to receive SAPs. Wallet of Satoshi gets banned from the US. Okay, everyone who is in the US has to use something else. It's not very fault tolerant, you know? We see it also, you know, like lots of people nowadays use Primal. And don't get me wrong, I love Primal. I think they're doing a great job of, you know, pushing Noster forward in terms of UX and just raising the bar higher and so on. But if Primal goes down, if the caching server goes down, if the wallet goes down, like it goes down for many, 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 many people. Mm. And I think that's why, that's actually what Noster, from an architecture standpoint, got really, really right. If like, if one relay goes down, it doesn't matter. Like we'll nuke the Damos relay, I think like at least 2 times by now. And Damos is used by a lot of people and it's a big relay. That didn't matter at all. You didn't even feel it. It didn't matter at all.
You can't even tell.
Yeah.
You can't tell that the thing happened.
And so if you have a system that works like this, I think that's the right approach. That's why, you know, like I think there is a way of building it right, so to speak. I think Blossom would be another example. You know, we're not there yet because we don't have, like, not every client has, like, automatically healing links and all those kind of things. But in theory, it's the same principle. Just like with Nostr, if one relay goes down, it doesn't matter. If one Bitcoin node goes down, it doesn't matter, you know? And if one Blossom server goes down, it also doesn't matter. It shouldn't matter. It's like you just grab it from somewhere else. But again, it's like a trade-off. There is no perfect solution because the answer can't also be, like, if we want to rebuild YouTube, for example, you can't host every single video on every single hard disk of the world. You know, that also doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
So what is the right trade-off balance? What is the right amount of replication? What is the right amount of deduplication and so on? And also, if you overdo it, I mean, IPFS showed this clearly. They had other problems as well, but IPFS, they did deduplication to the max. And then it was impossible to retrieve files because it's just like one shard goes offline and you can't reassemble your file. And it was just way too complicated. But anyway, VHF has a lot to say about IPFS.
I probably has no thoughts. Yeah, I think you want to be, at the systemic level, you want to be 100% fault tolerant. At the edges, is perfectly acceptable to not be fault tolerant.
Oh, absolutely. But that also leads us to the next issue of this doesn't come for free. So someone has to run the things and someone has to actually, you know, like host your image or also run the relay and all those kind of things, or run the mint or run the Bitcoin nodes and so on. And so it all kind of hangs together because you will never have the perfect solution of, like, it's super easy to use, it's super fast, it's like super convenient, it's super fault tolerant, and it's free, and you don't have to think about anything and you don't have to do anything. It's not how the world works. It's also
again, no free lunch.
Yeah, there literally is no free lunch. And you see this, I mean, that's true across all areas of life. Not everyone can have their private chauffeur and, you know, that goes on, that comes in a Rolls Royce and so on. Like, most people will need to learn how to drive and use their own car and potentially fix their own car, all those kind of things and so on. And yes, we can make steps towards that direction, as was shown with Uber and Bolt and so on, make it easier, make it more convenient and so on. But it's still, it's like you're living in the European Union, there's a new stupid law passed, Uber is illegal, we're back to square one. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, so from the work that I've been doing with NIP 60 and NIP 61, the...
Came out of conversations like this, by the way.
100%. The number one issue that people raise is, oh, wait, but the mints can rug you. Yeah, yes, they can.
That's the idea.
That is the idea.
You should never put a meaningful amount of money into the thing.
It is not for your cold storage, but, yeah. But it comes from this sense of, I should have perfect guarantees of everything. It should be seamless UX, and no one should be able to rug me.
Perfectly secure,
perfectly
available, all those kind of things.
And like I think one of the, I mentioned, I did this talk in software engineering about the sovereign Legos. It's about having building blocks with different trade-offs, because it is all about the trade-offs. With different trade-offs that increase the design space that we have available, the tools that we can.
Yeah.
So I don't see, obviously, I don't see NatSag and NIP 60 as the V. I don't have most of my Bitcoin there, obviously. But it is one more tool.
Yeah.
And then LSPs and opening your own channels is also a tool, and Liquid can be a tool, and sidechain, no, but
but I think the issue is we don't even understand the tools, right? And most people don't know about the tools at all, basically. I think that's the issue. I think in the real world, so to speak, we don't have this issue. Most people know what a hammer is. Most people know what a sharp knife is. Most people know what a saw is and so on. And they know when to use what, you know? Like, most people don't try to eat their, I don't know, like soup with a chainsaw. It's like, that's, we understand the various tools and the various
There probably trainers. Was someone.
I'm sure someone tried. But still, like, we are at a point now where, like, we just built the tools, like, basically yesterday.
Yeah, 100%. Sense. Absolutely.
Again, I keep coming back to Blossom. Just I like it a lot.
Yeah, that's Blossom the main is reason.
But it's also, so a little over a year ago, it didn't exist at all, not even as an idea. And now it hosts this podcast. So this podcast, I call it a podcast.
Oh, God damn it.
See, that's how indoctrinated I am. So just for the record, this will not be just another podcast. This thing will end. And it's like, we're going to have a couple of conversations, record them, and that's going to be it. But still, the fucking MP3 files, they're served on the Blossom server. So if we are right about our assumptions and things work out as we hope they will, like, this will be around for a while, and it will be very hard to get rid of the MP3 files potentially. And so now I lost my train of thought. Where was I going? It's the waves. They're so loud. enjoy the breeze.
we just made the
tools. Oh yeah, exactly.
Like a year
so
ago.
A year ago, all of this stuff, most of this stuff didn't exist. Like NIP60 is like, I don't know, 6 months old now or so.
Yeah, maybe 6 months.
And we're just figuring out, okay, when can we use this? How do we use this? And when does it make sense?
Where does it fit?
Yeah, exactly. And I really like the building block idea. I think that's also, I think now is the right time to really open it up and talk about all this stuff, because I really think we have almost all of the building blocks now. It's, I think, 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I wouldn't have been as bullish as I am now, because there was a lot of stuff missing. Like, how do we do this? And what about privacy? What about DNS? All those kind of things. And we have made so much progress in figuring out all these little things. Like, how do you, you know, like, how do you look up other people? How do you look up other relays? How do you do discovery and authorize without relying too much on DNS, for example, and all those kind of things. And we figured out a couple of things. And I think, maybe that would be one outcome. Just be very clear about what kind of Lego pieces we have, so to speak.
Yeah,
I'm not sure. We'll see.
Yeah. I think that's a useful. So for example, I think NIP 89, which is the discovery NIP, and I gave a talk in Tokyo about discoverability in Nostra doesn't suck. And I think NIP 89 is a good example, because in the past, I mean, in the present, we think about app discovery, and by app discovery, I mean capability discovery.
Yeah.
Via going to some fucking app store.
Yeah.
And getting seeing what's possible. And I think NIP 89 is still a very underexplored building block that we have available, which is radically different, because instead of going to this place where you find what can I do, you see the people doing the thing.
It's the same principle, right? Like, the app speaks for itself what it can do.
Yes, yes.
It's just like the signed message speaks for itself.
Very much.
It's very much the same principle. And so how do you, because it's also like in an Oster world, like, how do you get to the signed JSON? It doesn't matter whether it comes from a central server or whether you get it on a USB stick or whatever. Just like, how do you get a new valid Bitcoin block? It doesn't matter. That data speaks for itself. So it that's the only way how it can work, so that you can ignore any central authority, any supposed central authority. And this is the same idea, right? Like, you basically ask the app, tell in a self-sufficient manner what you can do and what you can handle, and how people discover you and get to know, get a hold of this information, doesn't matter.
Yeah, the people interacting with the tool is the distribution of the tool.
Yeah.
And you are just, if I see that you are live streaming, for example, and I follow you, and I see that you are doing the thing, and I'm unsure what the thing is, like, why? What is Gigi? Yeah. What's the context here? NIP 89 is that building block that takes you from that point of utter confusion of what's going on to, oh, this is a live stream. I didn't even know that this was possible.
Yeah.
And I'm using live stream as a placeholder, because literally anything,
all the things
fit in that box.
Yeah.
And that is just one more building block. It is just very different. very new. It's a very different idea. There is no equivalent on the legacy web that has that capability. Again, Natsag is another, Blossom is another, Insight is another. There are so many of these tools that are just completely different. Or not completely different. Like Blossom is not completely different. Blossom solves a very known problem. How many times have we tried to solve?
Many times.
So many times.
Yeah.
And this is such a stupid, simple, left side of the curve solution.
Yeah. And it will also, it will not work for everything.
Oh, no,
it's like torrents might be the better solution for some things, you know, like really large file stream, whatever. I don't know. But it's not a one-size-fits-all solution.
There isn't any, right?
Yeah, there isn't. Right, that's the point of the whole thing. There is no solution.
Okay,
there is no solution.
We've arrived.
There's only trade-offs. Yeah, that's the whole point. No, but I really like that. But I coming back to what you said about Adam Curry explaining the coin on Rogan and doing not the best job he could do. I think that's where we are at in the Nostr developer space right now. I feel like I think everyone has their own reason to work on this stuff and be excited about it and so on. And there might be quite a bit of overlap in regards to what are these reasons. But I think we're not very good yet at explaining like why should you take a look at this? I mean, just like with Bitcoin, we were, I think, kind of terrible in some sense, trying to explain to the world why is this important and why should you take a look at it and so on. With Bitcoin, it's, I think, harder because money is like an icky subject.
Yeah.
Most people, you know, like either have too much or too little, and it's always a taboo subject, and people...
And also the Bitcoin approach is so counterintuitive. If you believe in Bitcoin the first time you heard it, you're either
a massive
genius, or you need to arrive to the conclusion it's obviously a scam.
Yeah, it's. I think we'll have an easier time now, but it's still kind of weird, and some things are counterintuitive. And I think the killer app of Nostr is you can't be rug pulled. I think that's the killer app.
Yeah,
I really think that's a killer app, both for the users and for the developers. I think everything else is kind of like a side use case in some sense. But I do agree with what a lot of people are saying. Like, in the end, we will be better than the centralized solutions. But you see this also. You see this, again, coming back to Bitcoin. It is another Bitcoin podcast. It's terrible. I hate myself right now.
It is a podcast?
Oh,
it's about Bitcoin.
Oh, my God. We're failing on all fronts. But fiat credit rails can never do what Bitcoin does. It's impossible.
Yeah.
So Bitcoin, given enough time and innovation, Bitcoin has to be better than fiat credit rails. There is no other way. It's the better thing. It's the better solution. It's the superior system. And there's many technical reasons why this is the case, and I don't want to waste time to get into those. I think the same is true for Nostr. I think it's the superior solution. It really is. And I think the legacy centralized systems that we now have with, you know, like YouTube and X and Instagram and whatnot, and I don't know, TikTok and so on, they will never be able to do what Nostr will be able to do, or what Nostr already is able to do. Like 100%. Saps showed this very clearly.
100%.
Like, you can only do, like, micropayments without a sign up, you can only do on Nostr and with Bitcoin. There is no other way. Everything else, like that's already something that we can do way better than anyone else. And we'll have more and more and more of those things. But I don't think that's the killer feature. I think Saps is an incredibly important feature. I think it's a novel thing. I think we don't understand it right yet. I hope to talk about Saps at length at one point, but not today. Another day. But the thing about being rug pull resistant is something, it actually solves a problem. It solves a problem for users and it solves a problem for developers. How many people have there been that built their whole developer career about the fucking Reddit API? They're all rug pulled now. Everything is garbage now. And the same goes for YouTube and every other API and all those kind
every
of things.
Every API, even if you don't get cut off, the API just changes the interface
absolutely.
And you're fucked again.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, it's terrible. And so.
I tell you, one of the moments where I said, all right, I need to go full on Noster was that company that I was working in had KYC issues, and they were changing the provider for their KYC and their banking partners and whatnot.
Everything's different.
I had to start learning a new API from some proprietary KYC thing, and I was hating every single second of it. And I was comparing the work that I was doing in Noster with learning this stupid fucking API, hating myself. It's like, no, this cannot be it.
There has to be a better way.
There's got to be a better way.
Yeah. No, it's also, it's just not fun. It's not fun
it's not
being...
Fun. It sucks. You know that you're wasting your time.
Yeah.
You're building that. Yeah. You know, I had this friend who works on civil engineering, and he was working on designing dams. And he was telling me that the calculations that they make have to build in the assumption that the dam must last for 500 years.
Yeah.
And I was wondering, what piece of code have I written that has withstood 10 years? Like, how much code, what's the percentage of code that has been written that have withstood 1 year? It's almost all disposable, man.
Yeah. It's kind of a sad state of affairs, right?
Yeah.
It's, but I mean, with the dams, it's interesting because that's the right way of looking at the problem. It's like, if a flood comes, it's a catastrophic event. And one time in 100 years, a really big flood comes. So the whole dam has to be built to withstand this event. It's like a once in a lifetime kind of catastrophic flood or earthquake or what have you. And you have to take all that into account. And if you're doing your thing properly, then it actually works. And we do very, very little of that in the kind of, you know, like thinking about the web infrastructure and the internet infrastructure of those kind of things, or building out products or building out various systems, that the most things are completely disposable.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm old enough now that I really kind of, you know, I'm a grumpy old man where it's just like I saw all the things come and go. Can we kind of stop doing that? Doing like the next MySpace and then it goes away, and then we move on to something else and then it goes away. And then and it also, it iterates quicker and quicker and quicker because things speed up, and then it was this, and then it's like, and it was Musical.ly, and Musical.ly was around for, I don't know, 10 months, and then it became TikTok, and now TikTok basically got banned or whatever, and people moved on to the other thing. Snapchat, I forgot Snapchat, and all those kind of things. It's also fine, you know, like the new generation has to find their own thing, and it's like, you don't want to join Facebook because mom is on Facebook and so on. It's all okay. It's I don't want to be too grumpy and too old. Like, I think I do understand it to some extent, but still, like, if it comes to infrastructure stuff, you know, it's, that's why I like email so much. It's like email, I actually just mentioned this yesterday. It's like, people thought ICQ was superior to email. You know, email is still around, ICQ isn't. So email got something right. And so can we do more of this?
Yeah, I think when one of the incredible benefits that gets you not quite there, but very close to there, is what we discussed a few times, when you decouple the building of the software and the running of the software. If you like,
build the infrastructure, don't run it.
The authors of RFC 822, they've all moved on from SMTP. They're all retired.
Yeah.
But they were not running the thing.
Yeah.
They weren't in charge of running the SMTP servers.
Yeah. And I think what kind of, I mean, they were all idealists as were the early internet people.
Yeah.
And I think Noster is full of idealists. and that's perfectly fine. But I think we have an opportunity now to mix the best of both worlds. Because I am a capitalist as well, you know, like, it's contrary to popular belief. I like Stallman and the GNU licenses, but I'm still not a communist, you know, like I'm not a full-blown commie.
MBK is sorry, gonna be so shocked.
Sorry to disappoint. But I mean, there is a reason why we were never able to build out the 402 error code payment required. It just, it didn't work. It doesn't work on fiat payment rails. It just, it doesn't work. It cannot work. They didn't understand this back then. I'm convinced that, like, it's very hard to really understand this and really internalize it, that fiat implies, like, fiat rails are credit rails, and credit requires KYC, and so you can't do all those things. It's something that took me, like, years and years and years to figure out, and I feel like most people still haven't figured this out in some sense. It's
100%.
Now we actually have the building block with, you know, like, for example, eCash. eCash is a great example for that.
Phenomenal.
eCash fixes 402. It absolutely does. In the header of your request, you can put some eCash. And with that, the request is paid. You don't even have to go back and forth and do, like, 10 round trips. It's just like, here's $5, give me the Apple, you know? It's like, whatever. And so I think we have the opportunity now to do what you just mentioned. Actually think deeply about the infrastructure we want to build, come up with something that anyone can run. So again, like, you want to build the infrastructure, you don't want to run everything yourself, then you're like Apple or Google or what have you, you know, like, that doesn't make any sense. And it doesn't have to be all altruistic and all, like, you know, like Richard Stallman type people that don't believe in money. You can actually build services that scale, that are useful, and you can make money if you run your service well. And I think that's how things should be. I think we touched on it the last time as well. It's like, that's how restaurants are run. It's like, it's no secret what's happening there. They provide a service, they do it well, they sell something that's actually scarce, and if you do your job well, you can make money on a restaurant, and you can do it for a long time. And that's why you can have multi-generational restaurants and inns and other things that are actually fantastic businesses. And you can have fun while you're doing it, and you don't have to take over the world, and you don't have to, you know, compete with McDonald's and capture the whole food market of the world. And, like, it's like all these ideas are...
Don't run a compliance department. Restaurants don't have a compliance department, which is the goal.
Yeah, but I feel like in the Web 2.0 era, at least, and we're still in this era, I think at the end of it, but it's still, it's always, the question is always, how can you take over the world? How can you take on Google? How can you, you know, replace Facebook?
Yeah.
Like, you launch a video thing, how do you kill YouTube? Are you the YouTube killer?
Oh.
You know, it's like, all of that's bullshit. It's like, you don't have to. If I'm starting a lemonade stand, I'm not going to be the Coca-Cola killer. You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Like, it's like the concept of hyper-Bitcoinization. You know, it's like, oh, but when are you going to be able to sit in any coffee shop and pay with Bitcoin? And when is everything going to be based? It doesn't have to.
It doesn't, like, have to.
It's true
in my life.
It's true in your life. It's true in my life. We don't need all the other people to agree with us.
My life is very much hyper-Bitcoinized. And it has been for a while.
100%. So
I feel like the whole discussion is moot.
But I think, yeah. I think it stems from the same problem of an all or nothing approach, yeah, where... When is Nostr going to replace Facebook? It doesn't have to.
No, not at all. And in some sense, it also shouldn't. It should. It's, yeah. I'm surprised still that I feel there is a lot of overlap between other communities that have identified the problem. I think they have identified the issue. But they haven't necessarily landed on the right solution.
Oh, 100%.
All the Mastodon people is a great example. They know the problem well. Their solution sucks. Sorry, Mastodon people. I mean, a lot of the Mastodon people went to Nostr now and so on. But even broader than that, I think a lot of the self-hosting people, they have identified the problem really well. But I still think most of the solutions are kind of very limited in some sense. It's like you then... Okay, so either you use, I don't know, like Google Drive or whatever centralized service, or you run absolutely everything yourself in your own server rack in your kitchen. And if one time you're in a place where the power goes out and your whole stuff is down for like a month or whatever, you know, like that's, you know what I mean? I think we can do better than that. I really think we can. And again, Blossom is a great example for that, where it's like,
Nostr. It's a Blossom podcast.
That's way better. That's way better. It's better than a Bitcoin podcast.
100%.
But the Nostr has the right architecture. It's like, I want to host my own thing, and it's kind of a fail-safe if everything else goes down or whatever. But I don't want to be personally responsible for all the infrastructure all the time. Mm. I want to pay other people to do it for me. And I don't want those people to know what I'm doing. I don't want those people to be able to shut me off in a meaningful way or control me in a meaningful way and those kind of things. And I think that's the right, those are the right parameters. Like, it's none of your business. what I do with, I don't know, like, you know, what kind of Lightning payment your node routes, for example, it's none of your business. If you pass on an encrypted message that I send, it's none of your business what's in there. It's like, I mean, that's how the postal office used to operate, at least. I'm not sure what they do now, but
it's probably illegal not in six different ways.
Yeah. Nah, I don't know. I feel like an old man ranting, but anyway.
No, but one of the things that I've seen is, you know, the local first movement, where it's like the idea is that applications should be expected to work offline.
Yeah.
And they can still use the internet, of course.
Yeah.
But the application, the state of the application should be on the application itself, and instead of, oh, you are not connected to the internet, so you cannot edit
works.
Your document.
Yeah,
you know, nothing. Your OS doesn't boot because your internet is down.
Yeah.
And I listened to a bunch of podcasts from the Local First community, which is,
I didn't even realize there is a Local First community.
Oh, there is. They have a conference.
Oh, really?
For real?
At home by themselves.
Disconnected from the internet. It's just three guys screaming into the screen.
Discuss all the things local first, and then maybe you meet at a later point.
But it's very interesting because they arrive to many of the same problems. But as you say, they identify the right problem and they arrive to a completely wrong solution. One of them is working on identity. How do you solve identity?
Local first.
Not just local first, but within the realm of you own your data because your data is stored locally and you can always access it and no one can take it from you because it's literally sitting on your hard drive. How can you go around the different applications and do the login with Google or login with Facebook?
And using your local identity, so to speak.
Using your local identity. And it is the right problem to
it's the right question.
It's
ask,
the right question,
100%.
Yeah. Mm. The solution is, well, PASCII.
Okay.
Let's just have. So they arrive at the solution of, well, we need public private key cryptography, so we'll go in this direction. Perfect. Awesome. Yeah. Yes. But if PASCII is what's giving you your identity, your public key.
Yeah.
First, you cannot actually access the private key.
Yeah.
You cannot take your private key with you to a different system. It's Apple, you know. Yeah. So it's constrained to the Apple ecosystem or to the Google ecosystem or to whatever. So you are still downstream from the Google. Yes, it's beautiful. You just put your finger. It scans your Touch ID, and it's just boom. It just works. But what's the trade-off? Like, the trade-off to me is unacceptable.
Yeah.
Where Apple can just deplatform you from your local first software.
Yeah.
But it's all the right questions, all the wrong answers. And I keep thinking these people, they have a very like the local first community, as most communities, they hate Bitcoin.
Oh, everyone hates Bitcoin. That's fine. That's the default.
Yeah. Yeah, because, oh man, it's so inefficient.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
But given it's so inefficient. Look how trivial the problem looks from the outside, that the HTTP spec people thought, oh, let's just put like a 402 error.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out next week.
Yeah, we'll figure out the payments next week. Yeah.
It looks like such a simple problem.
Yeah.
And it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard.
It is a simple problem. It is a very simple problem. But simple problems don't always have simple solutions.
Yeah.
That's the issue.
It requires building like these mining sites and this whole infrastructure in the world that has a very significant cost Yeah. But it is the only way.
It's the only way.
And from the outside, it might look like, oh, why don't you just use Passkey? It's an API call. It's just there.
Yeah.
Why are you building all these weird apps and all this stuff? Like, just use Passkey. Yeah. It's so simple.
But I really like the local first idea. I had no idea that this
is an actual... Oh, it's phenomenal. Oh, no, it's great. Yeah. But they also arrive at the same problems of, okay, and how do you sync the data? Okay, but what if you are on device A?
What if you have like three different devices?
Yeah, let's put a server. Oh, but what if the server goes down?
It's actually a really hard problem.
It is a hard problem. Yeah.
And it's impossible to solve without conflicts. Everyone who ever worked with Git knows this. Yeah. It's like, it's, you know, if you actually... Let's say you have three or four devices and you travel around and you forgot to switch your phone like back, like deactivated flight mode again, and then you sit down on your computer. I run into this problem all the time because I actually use systems like this and in my note-taking apps and so on, and I will have conflicts that I need to resolve.
Oh, of course.
Because I updated it on the other machine and I updated another thing on the other machine. Both of them were offline.
What's the state?
And then what's the state? There is no global state. There is, like, there can't be.
Not even within your own note.
Not even within me. Like, it doesn't work. But that's, I think that's the right way. Like, Rebel tried to came up with a list of criteria for, like, what makes a social network protocol open and so on. I think we need something like that for Noster stuff. Mm. And it's like, that's one criteria. It has to work in flight mode.
Yeah.
If it doesn't work in flight mode, I have a relay on my phone and I should be able to switch it to flight mode and everything just kind of still works. And I say just kind of, you know, like not absolutely everything can work, but still it has to.
A lot can work.
A lot can work. Way more than you would think.
Yeah. A lot can work.
And I think it's the right approach. I think it's a fantastic, I love the local first thing. So see, I learned something. Man, that's fantastic. It's already working. See what can happen in like in a conversation, in a dialogue? You usually learn things and you figure stuff out along the way. So that's the idea. No, but I again, it's the local first, because I in my head, I already tried to kind of make this list. And I think Huddlebot gave it a try as well, right? Like doing a list of what makes a Noster app and
what Noster app. What is a Noster app anyway?
Those kind of things. And I mean, I think we obviously still suck at all those things, but I hope that in a year from now, we'll have something where we can actually take a quick look at something and immediately go, yeah, that's wrong. That's like,
it's, yeah, that is, you know. That's within this category of error.
Yeah. And I think that would be super useful because... Again, I think like everyone who worked on Noster so far, we figured out a couple of things. And I think we have to get a little bit better at passing that on and explaining it to just regular developers. I don't even care about the users that much, so to speak, because it's like the users, this stuff will be figured out. The developer side is, I think, harder to figure out. Because I'm still worried that if we... There's still a chance that Noster kind of goes bad in some sense, I think.
And I tend to agree. I think we're in better footing than we were.
Oh, yeah, you were insanely stressed out a year ago.
Yes, I very much was.
I agree. I think we are.
Should we turn around?
Yeah, let's do. But we can also, we can
go through the tunnel?
Go through the pain once more. It's not an issue. But let's do one ring around the rosy and then let's see where we're at. That's probably very confusing for people as well. Like, we're sometimes talking about the Noster things. We're mostly talking about Bitcoin, but then we're also talking about how to best keep walking without running into things or running into too many other people. But yeah, that's kind of my hope for the whole project and having these conversations and so on, that hopefully we land on some things where we not only figure out these criteria, but also refine the message. Why is it important? Like, why should you care about it? Why do you want to build on it, for example? And I think it has to be wound up with the money and the money making.
Oh yeah, it's like, absolutely.
It's because it's such a novel thing as well that you will receive sats. Like, if you do your thing right, you will receive sats from the get-go. It's not going to be a lot, but still having the possibility of having money flowing in and flowing through the system from second one, basically. I mean, we pushed out this in a like the first conversation that we had, and also even the teaser made money. It was like 100 sets or something, I don't know. But it's not nothing, you know? And we put very little effort into marketing or
CK, refining. Well, we didn't market like at all. CK would say that's more than generational wealth.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. If you disagree, you're not bullish enough. But yeah, I don't know. I hope that we can figure this out, because I'm absolutely sure
that we will.
Surprised that not more developers are flocking to it, because I think it's one of the most exciting things that's happening right now in the kind of internet development space.
Yeah.
And most people are completely unaware. I think it's mostly because our own fault, because everyone hates Bitcoiners. And it's just
that is very likely the case. Also, I mean, one of the things that keeps coming up is people join Noster and they get 20 different people saying, I tried to stop you. I couldn't stop you.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Download this thing. Yeah, and it's like, okay, I was here for like a minute and now I have...
And everyone... Yeah.
I have like 6 hours worth. You have to watch this video and you need to install these things.
What? No, that's true. Yeah. But, you know, NotSaps fixes this, so...
Yeah.
They won't be able to really spend it except for, you know, pass it on.
You can pay Lightning invoices. So you could go to the mythical coffee shop and buy a coffee.
Oh, yeah. But again, regular users.
But that's the thing. So the reason I started working on the NotSaps stuff is that I was looking very hard at how Substack works, how they do onboarding. And within the onboarding flow of an author trying to write something on Substack and make some money, the moment you say that you want to get paid, they take you in a very beautiful design. They take you to this KYC process with Stripe. So they hand you off to Stripe, and Stripe is doing the KYC for them, and then you have to link it and whatnot. The UX is as good as it can get when you bake in the assumption of KYCing the person.
Yeah, yeah.
Once you have to scan your face and take a picture of your proof of address and your passport and whatnot, you can't have like a really good UX because it fucking sucks.
Yeah.
And it's still very, very raw. It's still very early stages. But the fact that you can go and have a Substack equivalent or have a whatever equivalent and not have to go through that. You can go to Shopter and sell shit without having to KYC you with Stripe. That is a massive deal.
Oh, absolutely.
That is a massive, massive deal.
Absolutely.
And I think developers might not... Developers might not understand the identity piece and why like all these parts are... So why is all this shit required? Why do we have to find a nonce on Bitcoin? Why is the mining? They won't have to understand those things.
Yeah, no, not at all.
But the sales pitch of you can have your users selling their shit immediately.
Yeah.
That is a very easy narrative to understand.
Yeah. No, and that's what I also mean. Like in the end, like give them enough improvements and all those kind of things, it will be better and easier. Just like Bitcoin is better and easier than the legacy fiat banking system. Like try to do an international wire with any bank. It's like, it's hell. It's you're in the fifth circle of hell. Like it doesn't matter how you cut it. And also when it comes to the bigger platforms, if you do account creation, for example, that's already so cumbersome. And Noster, it's a click.
Yeah.
It's one click and you have an account. And if
no
we do our...
No verification. Nothing.
And you don't have to... Because on many things that I use, like they want to know everything about you. Like, and I'm always going like, why? Why do you need to know this? Why do you need my first name and my middle name and my last name and my birth date and my, you know, like my blood type and my country and my location and like all those kind of things. And why? I mean, I know why, but it's still very much stupid. It's like, it's... it's it, I just wanted to try out like a to-do note-making app. It's like, please, don't like, just let me try the thing. Just let me in. I promise. I'm not a terrorist. I promise. You know? I don't know. And so
yeah, I was getting a few months ago. I was getting KYC'd by this company. One of the questions that they asked me, I bailed, but one of the questions that they asked me is, how much money do you have?
I don't know.
How is that? Imagine if you download Sparrow and Craig says, okay, how much money do you have? I need to report it.
I need to know. Otherwise, you can't use my software. No, I think that's where we can really shine. I think that's where Nostr can really shine. Like, literally everything can be one click. And I think it's still very much underutilized because I think because we are so wedded to the old way of doing things. Like, every single Nostr client should have a one-click onboarding thing where you just like create a new account to try it out. It's like, why not? It's like the NSECs are free. there's infinity of them. Just let me, like, I don't want, even want to have to do it myself. Just like, bam, do it. I don't care about losing it. Like, who cares? You know, all those
there's
kind of
things.
There's
nothing in there. Why would it?
Yeah, exactly.
To me, when I install a Bitcoin wallet and it tells you, it forces you to verify
the
numbers. There's literally zero money because I haven't been able to use the fucking app. Like, why are you making...
But again, trade-offs. It's like, so many people lost Bitcoin, so okay, fine. But still, I that's one of the things. We haven't tried all these things out enough. Like, most people that are currently on Nostr, what would be your guess? How many percent of people using Nostr know that you can paste an NPUP into pretty much any client and see the Nostrverse through the eyes of, I don't know, you know, like Pablo or Jack or what have you? How many people know that you can do that?
I would think it's gotta be half.
I would have said less than 1%.
Such a fucking bubble, right?
Less than 1%.
Really?
Yeah. No one knows this. Most clients don't advertise this or show this or whatever. Show me a couple of profiles. When I open the thing and I want to click on it and I want to see it, I want to use your NPUP to log in or whatever, to just check it out. We don't do those kind of things, and it's all possible because it was all impossible in the old system.
Right, yeah.
It was completely impossible to do stuff like that in the old system. And we're still so wedded to the old way of thinking at the old system.
And also in the old system has your private data unencrypted.
Sure.
So in the old system, logging with someone else's account
would be very weird.
It not only could be very weird, from a developer perspective, you gotta be fucking sure you're not leaking the DMs because you can.
Yeah.
In Nostr, you don't have the private key, so you cannot decrypt. Yeah, exactly. You can only see the public data.
The stuff that's public anyway. But it looks and feels as if you were doing the thing. You can't interact, but you can. It feels like I'm looking over your shoulder, basically. That's what I can do, in some sense. I don't know. I feel like we're in a new paradigm, and we haven't even done the new paradigm things yet enough. And I think it is because people don't really understand it well enough yet, in some sense. I don't know. It should be the default. Having an NSEC for just like a day or something, it should be the default.
Yeah, I think absolutely.
There's very few clients that implemented this. I think Amethyst did as like replying as a NIM, basically, where you spin up a new NPUB just for this reply. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
Stuff like that is fantastic. Like, we should have way more of these kind of, you know, experimentations and really leaning into the new paradigm. But then, first of all, we'll have to understand what is the new paradigm, basically. And I think, again, like, local first is part of this. Like, it's a new paradigm that your thing works whether you're online or not. It's a completely new paradigm that's unheard of in like a client server architecture, like old way of thinking.
Yeah, based on the way the local first community people speak, I wrote the local first documentation for NDK. And it's a guide on building local first apps within NDK. Because the idea of I click the whatever reaction or make a comment or something, and it just works. Because the data is already signed.
Yes.
So I know it works.
And it will.
Yeah, the device goes online. So whether it published to the relays or it didn't yet, it's kind of secondary.
Yeah.
So it should be reflected in the app immediately.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. No, it's the right way of thinking about it. So let's end with an echo and then be done with it.
And someone yelling in the tunnel.
We'll see. We'll. Oh, that was just a sound
just
test.
An echo test.
Sound check by some random guy. Yeah, I feel like my brain is fried again anyway, so I'll have to. I don't have anything
insightful.
Yeah, useful to say anymore. Not that I said a lot of useful things. But no, I really like that. The combination of there being no global and building stuff in a way that it works in an offline mode, that it works local first, that's already, you know, like everyone should know that this is how things work in an Osterwald, basically. And I feel like we're not there yet.
No, most
people still try to make a global view work. And most people have never tested their own app in flight mode, for example.
Yeah, and the idea of building this global view is one, like I've seen many people, we've seen many, many, many people attempt that. And it's such an endless pursuit. And the complexity just explodes.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
It will never stop exploding either.
No, the deeper you dig into the problem, the worse it gets. That's what I have the feeling with a lot of the still in the shitcoin world and the proof of stake people and so on. They don't even know how hard it is, how hard the problem is that they're trying to solve. Mm. They don't know.
Yep.
And they try and they try and they try and all their attempts are misguided and they don't even understand the impossibility of the problem that they are trying to solve. And I've seen this so many times now where new people come in and they want to build something and they want to make a global view happen. And I think that's something where we just have to get better at explaining to people that you have to be okay with there being no global.
So let's try to identify with more or narrow down the
problem. Let's stop walking before I completely lose my breath.
Because we've seen many people just personally working on this type of assurances and these type of views and not realizing, not feeling, even though we've yelled so many times, what do you think is the holdup? Why are these people that are smart and capable, why do you think we are not getting through?
I think it's incredibly hard and also painful to deprogram yourself. And it's like you grew up with this stuff and it always worked like this and you always had a server that told you the truth and nothing but the truth and the whole truth. And if you don't have that, then it's very hard to accept that you don't have that, I think. I think that's the main issue. To pick another example that we ran into often, it's like the main way of making money online, basically, or building out such apps and systems and so on, is to either capture your users, or introduce yourself as a middleman. And capturing your users is just like, you are the middleman, you are the thing, and so on. And so people default to those kind of things. Most developers that are new to Noster and want to do something and potentially, eventually also make money, they really try hard to capture their users in some way. And because that's what they learned, that's what they know, that's what everyone taught them up to now. And in sense of adding yourself as a middleman, it's the same thing. Like they try to insert themselves, like it only works if you use this client. It only works if you do it like this. And then they take like a whatever percentage cut and so on. And I think that's the old business model. I think there is another way of doing things. And a more honest way of doing things, a more long-lived way of doing things. I think RoboSats, it's the first innovation that I saw in that sort of monetizing open source software in a, I think, very honest way. It's where the coordinators can decide to give back parts of their profit to RoboSats open source development. And they advertise that. And they advertise that it's part of their, like they have a reputation, they have various ratings and all those kind of things. They advertise the liquidity and all those kind of things. And that's part of that. And so I personally am not going to choose a coordinator that has this put to 0%. I want to support the whole system and the whole thing. And so, and I think most people are not assholes, actually. I think most people, or a meaningful percentage of people, will choose to select someone that actually gives back to the whole system and gives back to open source development, makes the whole thing work, and so on. And that's a very new idea, I think. And you can do it in a way, like you can do it in a way so that it's automated and transparent and verifiable and all those kind of things. And we can do that now. Mm-hmm. We can, and I feel this whole space is very unexplored yet. Most people haven't tried something like that. Most people are still stuck in the old paradigm, which is like, I'm going to be the middleman and I'm going to facilitate the things. I'm going to take like a 4% cut or whatever. I don't know. I don't have a better answer.
To me, the question about the money and the becoming the central point so you can take your cut, that is a much clearer reason why you want to be there, because there is a profit motive. There is an incentive to be there because you want to take the money. The global view people, that I have a harder...
How should we call them? Globalists?
The Websters?
Oh, you're a globalist. I understand. I don't need to talk to you anymore. If you're a globalist, I'm not interested.
Yeah, the globalist perspective, I have a harder time understanding, because you're not going to make money because you are trying to solve the data assurance of all the data in Noster or naming. Or
I mean, it in their defense, it kind of stuff kind of feels like there is a global truth, right? Like if your everyday experience and all those kind of things tells you that there is a global shared view of things and there is a global truth and there's like one truth, like how many beans are in the jar? Like there's a definitive answer. Mm.
And I don't know what happened in your house this morning. I cannot have a view of what happened in Tokyo an hour ago.
Yeah, sure. But I think people have a hard time wrapping their head around the fact that in a global system, which by default is a distributed system, like YouTube is a distributed system. Let's stick with YouTube, because everyone kind of knows YouTube, knows how it works, knows how the interface looks like, and so on. The like count is a complete lie, and it has to be. And you can also tell if a YouTube video ever goes viral, the like count will stop at like 137 or something. Because that's when they start to actually start counting the likes, and they have to reconcile between the different geographically distributed servers that they have. And so there is not one server that has the number. It can't have it, because the YouTube video in Germany is going to be served from a German server. If someone else in Japan looks at it, it's going to be a Japanese server, and so on. And they have to reconcile. And while they are reconciling, and that's just speed of light physics stuff, mm-hmm. like a million other people have seen the video again. So it's not off by a little. It's like if a video really goes viral, it's not off by a little. It's not off by two or three views. It's off by thousands and millions of views. It's like it's insane how hard this problem is. Also, you know, like what counts for a view and all those kind of things. And so I think people, most of the globalists, just haven't talked about or thought about. I love it already. They haven't thought about the problem at hand deeply enough, I think. Mm. They never thought about it. It's just like, oh, that's the like count. The server says that's the like count, so that's the like count. They never considered that this could be a lie. It has to be a lie. It has to be a lie, basically. You know, like, what's the global state of the internet? And everyone knows, like, what Google has indexed is not the global state of the internet. It's not. It's a very small sliver of the internet. You cannot have a global state of the internet. You can't. You literally can't. It's physically impossible. And so I don't know. I think it comes from a place of both ignorance and also trying to have a nice and easy solution. Mm. Because actually not having a global state, the realization that global is a lie, it's a hard realization.
Yeah.
It's harder to build stuff that way. It's like you have to just be okay with it. And I think it's hard to confront that and build stuff accordingly.
Yeah, I think it's hard to accept. It's a good explanation. Because it forces you to just accept the discomfort of not having a perfect answer, and that there can't be.
Yeah.
Having, there having is a global, perfect answer, you will never know it.
Having a global would be very comforting and very simple and very easy. And that's it, and that's the source of truth, and that's what I'm going to work with and so on. And so I think that's it. I think most people would love to have it. And so they kind of force themselves to think that it exists in some way. Yeah, I don't know. But we'll get there. It also, not everyone has to understand this stuff. Hmm. I think a critical percentage of people has to understand the things. And if we have a couple hundred devs that are really good, that deeply understand this stuff, I'm happy. I don't need, you know, my mom to understand this stuff. It's like, it's fine.
I think the eternal September of Nostr is going to be people coming in and building a REST API that feeds. Gives you the what?
Building REST APIs to give you global feeds.
Yes, that's going to be our eternal September.
Yeah, let's prepare for it accordingly. Yeah. Any last words? Anything else you want to touch on? I need to get out of the sun.
No, I'm good.
All good?
Yeah.
All right, then. See you next week.
See you next week.